I'm here with the Podfly people, and I have directly before me, as you can view it on the video end of things over there in Userland, I've got John Montgomery here. That's right, you're John Montgomery?
Most of the time.
Okay, then I'm doing a good job so far. That's good.
Excellent.
Okay, this is to the
We're
plan.
One for one.
Yes. Okay, now what am I doing here?
Well, the last time you were here and you were interviewing us, we were showing the early alpha versions of Popfly, and we are about on October 17th to be removing the invitation restrictions so that anybody can actually get in, and we've added a whole bunch of new features. So you're actually here to kind of see what the latest version of Popfly looks like and see some of its features, and to do that, we actually wanted to introduce you, I think the last time I did most of the talking, this time we want to introduce you to Adam Nathan, who's been not only busy writing his book on Windows Presentation Foundation and his book on Silverlight, but also rapidly cranking out a bunch of stuff in Popfly, so might as well turn over to Adam to give a quick demo of some of the new stuff that's in here.
Should we also say hi to Andy? He's sitting in
the
corner.
Hey, Andy. Everybody.
Are you just like a bystander today? Or
yeah, I'm just stalking these guys. Okay. Wrong office, actually.
And if either one of them makes a mistake, you're the disciplinarian. Yes, okay, good. All right, Adam.
If we come across any issues, we've got someone to blame. So.
Okay, it couldn't be either of us.
That's right. So I don't really have anything prepared, but I thought I would take you on a quick tour of Popfly. If you saw the last video, you know maybe a little bit what it's about, but I'll show you what it means. You know, take you on a little tour of the features, show some of the new stuff, and then Rory, if you have any questions, you can just let me know as we go along. If we head over to the screen that my laptop is hooked up to, I'm on the Popfly homepage. I already signed in with my Windows Live ID, so part of the idea with the now that we're in beta is it doesn't require any kind of special invitation to get in.
No, one second. Mm-hmm. You were like, "Oh, Rory, if you got any questions, then feel free to, you know, ask and stuff."
Yes.
Did you guys like get permission from Bill Gates to use that little boy Bill Gates photo?
So as it turns out, yes, we actually did get permission from the. That's a standard advertisement that we have from the Visual Studio Express Beginner Developer Learning Center. So we simply appropriated that ad and are running it here.
All right. Well, there's my one question for right now.
Yes. Right now, you'll probably see a lot of that ad showing up. In the future, you may see more variety. But right. So you don't need an invitation to get in. All you need is a Windows Live ID. If you don't have one, it's easy to sign up for one. But once you log in with your Windows Live ID, you're in. And in addition to seeing what other people have created, you can try to create something yourself. So if I go to create a mashup, we get launched into our Silverlight 1.0-based mashup designer. And the idea is you take a bunch of existing blocks that either Microsoft has built or other users have built, and you stitch them together, and you've got a mashup. So if I look over on the side here, something new with the beta that we didn't have before is some nice organization of the type of blocks people have created. So if I just want to do a very, very simple mashup, maybe I want to search for some images from Windows Live Image Search. And I don't know. So by default, everything has some settings. Right now it's set to search for Vincent van Gogh. What would you like to search?
Oh, if I'm looking for images?
Yeah.
Jolene Blaylock. No, wait, no, don't do that. I'm sorry. I just realized. No, she was on Enterprise, and she was awesome, but don't search for the images. I don't know. I mean, like, what do people look for in photos? I honestly don't know.
Well, actually, the one you nailed is probably really high up on the
point.
List.
Okay, yeah. To be safe for demo purposes, maybe we want to see pictures of Bill Gates.
More photos of him.
So I could just run this and kind of see raw output from that.
There might be some great surprises in here.
Actually, yeah.
See, look at that one with him posting all sultry with that computer.
Yeah. Oh, it shows up three times, actually. Right, so I could just get some raw photos, but maybe I want to do something a bit more interesting with them. So if I look at these display blocks, the vast majority of them are leveraging Silverlight and can display different image or video data in rich ways. So maybe I want to, I don't know, there's a slideshow, maybe, let's try a carousel. So a spinning carousel is something you see a lot on the web these days. We make it pretty darn easy to take your photos, whatever you want, put them in a nice little spinning carousel.
Wow! Hey, you know, wow. I mean, seriously, that's awesome.
And we had it before Amazon.com had it.
Yes, indeed. And it's really easy to customize. And if you don't like the carousel, just remove that block, add maybe a photosphere, getting a little wild. if you can't get enough of those photos, a nice spinning 3D representation of them, where you can play a little game with your mouse to try to hit them. All kinds of interesting visualizations. Now, as I mentioned, users have created a bunch of blocks. There's one that I know of that's kind of neat that a guy named James created called Asteroids. In this case, he didn't simply use Silverlight to display incoming data, but he used it to create an interactive game. So if I were to take those same photos of Bill Gates, send it to this Asteroids game, run that instead, I've got a little... here we go.
You're in so much trouble.
So, yeah. There we go.
When he sees that, man.
So, there's a lot of ways where you can do pretty creative things. And whether you're building a mashup leveraging existing blocks or you're creating the blocks themselves, we do our best to make it really, really easy to take in the data, spit it out, and you don't have to worry about a lot of the infrastructure as far as using all these services. You can just leverage what's already there.
It looks, it's very different from the product that I saw when I came in that first day, when you guys were launching.
We called the old one, What Can Brown Do For You?
Well, actually, John's sweater is pretty much what the old one
is. It
has the diagonal, Yep.
Aaron came in, he saw my sweater, and he's like, that has to be a theme. And now we've cleverly gone the route of the Beatles. We have the White Album.
Nice.
So one of the things is, so if you were to create little mashups like this, you can save it. We basically use Windows Live Storage, and so you've got an account where it's just storage in the sky that your PopFly projects go. And we also host them for you. So if I were to save this guy, I'll call it Bill Asteroids.
I like Billsteroids.
Yeah, Billsteroids. That's good. Once I save it, there's basically a simple URL on PopFly that I can browse to, or anyone can browse to if I decide to share it, that exposes my game. But something that we wanted to enable was not just hosting your content on PopFly itself, but being able to easily take that other places. So what I'll do is I'll go to my projects. I've got a bunch of random things in here, mashups, blocks. You can see a little hint of the fact that other users can rate your projects. People can leave comments on them, so there's a bit of community around these things you create. If I share this Bill Asteroids game, I then get some other options. Actually, let me just go right to the details page where you see the most options for dealing with any project. You can add description tags for easier searching. You can submit it to Reddit or Dig. You can email your friends. You can actually have a Live Spaces gadget embedded in Facebook. You could actually copy and paste this iframe code and put it on your blog. As long as you have the iframe, there's pretty much...
you can do
it. Yeah.
Now, what's it going to look like on a blog?
It's probably a bit too much work to actually embed it in my blog right now, but I can give you a sense of what it'll look like. But then I can also show you examples of embedding it in other places. So imagine that this is a small box on my blog.
You did a good job of making a small box and taking over from my imagination.
So basically, you've got your content, depending on your bot, maybe it's really tiny, but...
I must really be pretending now.
If you pretend a little bit harder, it goes down to a 1 pixel by 1 pixel.
Basically, you get this little overlay that explains about the project and gives you some links. And I should say that what you see on the screen right now is a bit different from what people will see by the time this video airs. I'm using a mix of what we currently have in production and what we have internally. But there'll be a menu here with some options. So if someone sees this on your blog and they say, hey, that's cool, I want to tweak that, customize it a bit, we make that easy to do. So I can show you an example of that.
Does the customize it link work right now?
It should, yes. So I'll click it. What that'll take me to is a slightly different experience than the spinning cubes and the arrows. It's a lightweight tweaker, if you will. So what this will do is it shows me kind of the main tweakable things from this mashup. In this case, photos of Bill Gates is what we use to populate asteroids. If I change that to, I don't know, what if we search for Maury? Will we find photos of you?
You didn't put an E on my last name. Thank you.
Oh.
Thank you.
So I was right?
Well, the...
Is that you?
Yes.
All right.
That's me and my ex-fiancée in Fiji.
So there,
please,
you can slow
it
up. So in this case, even though the original Asteroids game was pretty trivial to create, it's just get live images, hook it up to Asteroids, connect it together. Maybe that's too complex for me, or maybe this is a much more complicated app. It doesn't matter. I can see it, I can tweak it, and now it's Rory Stroids instead of Bill Stroids. So we want to make that as easy as possible. But to give you some ideas of the embedding, I've got some shortcut links here. So here's an example of what a mashup could look like embedded in Facebook. It is the same, basically iframe here, the same menu in the top corner. In this case, okay, here it's photos of Popfly on the spinning carousel. And again, I can tweak it. And depending on what blocks the mashup uses, there are more and more things to tweak. Carousel, for example, allows you to tweak the color of these glass frames. With the beta, you'll be able to choose the background color, font color, all those like generically tweakable things to make it really easy to personalize these creations, even if the idea of using the mashup designer is a bit too intimidating. So,
could you host Asteroids in that?
Absolutely.
It'd be pretty confusing. Would each one of those then wind up being like an instance of Asteroids?
Basically, each page that's hosting it's a separate instance. So,
okay.
The Asteroids, as it is now, it's not like a networked game or anything. But you could imagine people writing blocks that add more collaboration to take it to the next level. So let's see what else. One thing that I'll have to go to. Before I do that, let me show. I have just another shortcut to another type of app you might want to embed in Facebook. So in addition to the fact that you can create any mashup that's hosted in Facebook, you can create mashups that leverage Facebook data. So, for example, we've got a Facebook block that allows you to get data about your friends, just like you could get data from any other source. So here's a little mashup I've created. I've taken my Facebook friends and put them in this little block that's called a photo flip. And so you can not only see friends, but you can, the link's hooked up, that takes them right to that friend's Facebook page. So you can do some really interesting things with integration with these various websites and web services, whether it's consuming them in your mashup or outputting to them as a result. So one of the things, if you'll bear with me for a moment while I browse to an internal site that matches more closely what'll be on the beta.
While we're waiting,
mm-hmm.
I at home I've got a MacBook Pro that I use quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And have you guys been like testing across platforms?
We have been. We do support the Mac. We've got a few Macs on our team that we do the testing on. Basically because client side we're all JavaScript, HTML, Silverlight, we can go on the Mac just fine. Right now, we officially support Firefox on the Mac and Firefox in IE.
Does that include Camino on the Mac? It's like a Firefox derivative?
Yeah.
It uses Gecko, I guess is what I should say.
Yeah.
We don't explicitly test for it.
Yeah, but it should work same as CMonkey and other stuff like that. It's
cool.
Just Firefox derivatives.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to block it originally, but we don't anymore, so your experience may vary.
Okay.
So I just wanted to give another example of interesting places you can take your creations. So any mashup that you create, besides putting it on Facebook, putting it on Live Spaces, putting it anywhere an iframe can go, you can download it as a Windows Vista sidebar gadget. So here's an example of a mashup. I can actually also run it from the web browser just to give you an idea of what this is. I previously created this. It searches... for photos of Popfly. It puts them on another visualization we call photo tiles. So this is what it looks like in the website. And if you look up on the sidebar, I don't know if that's on the camera, the same live mashup is...
Let's see. There we go.
And if I drag it off, you get a nice little bigger display here, where it's basically your fully functioning mashup, the JavaScript, the XAML, the HTML, living as a sidebar gadget. So depending on the type of mashups you create, if it's the kind of thing that gets the latest news from an RSS feed or gets the latest post from Twitter or any kind of data that is changes over time, it can be really interesting to host that in your sidebar and get up-to-the-minute data from whatever you're
Well, it certainly looks like the easiest way to create a custom sidebar gadget.
Yeah. It's definitely not, it doesn't have the full power of something that if you were hardcore to use all the sidebar APIs, but it's definitely the easiest way to get your content in there.
So, Adam, is there anything else? Like, anything else in the beta that... beforehand, you promised me that you had 3 minutes of information here, and you've done a pretty good job. Seriously, you've got a lot of good info here. Now, let's make sure that among that info, we get just kind of, what other details, might be going on. Keep it focused on you here. I'm trying to make you nervous. Yeah.
We're continuing to add features that try to make it easier and faster to create all kinds of content. Some of the things that I sort of referred to, but you didn't see, as far as the tweaking of mashups, choosing colors, having nice, rich, Silverlight-based color pickers, all those kinds of ease-of-use things. So it's less typing, more visual things. Actually, one thing I didn't show is if you do want to get into more coding, you can easily take a mashup where you started with dragging and dropping and just add code to it. So whether it means you're just adding a line of code to, say you're using Virtual Earth and you also want to not just add pushpins to it, but zoom the map around as you add those pushpins, it's just a line of code because each block is ultimately a JavaScript class with very simple JavaScript APIs to use. So even if you aren't doing the drag and drop designer, or if you want to augment it, you can easily do so with code. And John's cleverly reminding me over here that something else you can do with your creations now with the beta is with a click submitted to the Windows Live Gadget Gallery. So I don't know if you're familiar with the Gadget Gallery, but it's a nice place where you can get sidebar gadgets, live gadgets, and basically anything you can create here, you can submit it there, and it'll show up. And so it just provides another place for you to share your creations where people can discover your creations.
Okay.
That's pretty